Greg Pope, John Burton Show. John with the day off. We'll be back with us tomorrow. Got some neat stories to tell. He went up to Philadelphia, met his twin sisters who were born 2 years to the exact day that he was born. And their father had passed away 10 years ago from Philly, buried in Philly, and they got to visit the gravesite and spend a lot of time together. So that's so good. And just while we're feeling good, we're obviously out here at the 26th Annual Hope Pines 4 Kids Golf Classic benefiting the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. Our broadcast brought to you by Tim Leeper Roofing. Joining us every Monday hereabouts from the Associated Press, and she's on the F&M Bank phone line, Teresa Walker at Teresa M. Walker on Twitter. Hello, Teresa.
Good morning, Greg. How we doing?
It's doing good. It's just you and me, just like the Cardinals. Just like the Brewers and the Cubs. It's just them two now. Everybody else has fallen by the wayside.
Well, I tell you, it's nice that the Brewers, at last I checked, they've won 9 of their last 10. And, the Cubs just swept the Cardinals this weekend. So, yeah, it's shaping up to be a nice little run here through the rest of the summer, maybe. So,
well, tied for first.
They're completely tied.
Yep, tied for first. Identical records right now. And as a matter of fact, they've won 17 of their last 21, which is ever since trading for a Willy Adames from Tampa Bay. So, yeah, it's a good time to be a Brewer fan of Cubs. You know, and we've talked about this. I can tolerate the Cubs, okay? I don't like a lot of their Johnny-come-lately fans. But I and the Reds, no way. And I would pull for Russia before I would the Cardinals. So, I just that's sort of the way I feel about it.
I can kind of completely understand how you feel. Down in the Memphis area, there's a lot of Cards fans. I'm friends with a lot of Cards fans. I've worked with a lot of Cards fans. Lordy, they're like Alabama fans times Kentucky basketball fans. It's an interesting combination, shall we just say. There's a serious amount of confidence among that fan base. I'm not so sure that all of it's earned, but they certainly carry it.
It's the Cardinal way, which makes me sick. Anyway, NCAA Super Regionals, Vanderbilt. Now, they beat a good team in East Carolina, and they're going to play a darn good team in Arizona, which took care of Ole Miss last night. And then Tennessee with LSU beating them twice. Tennessee will play either Dallas Baptist or Virginia on Sunday. But how, you know, if with no dog in the hunt or having a dog, obviously we got big dogs in the hunt with, you know, Vanderbilt on our radio station. But certainly how cool is it for Tennessee and Vandy to both be going to the College World Series the same year?
Oh, completely fun. And here's the fun, even more fun. You know, only way they could meet would be for the title, which is really, wouldn't that be kind of fun? Talk about bringing that rivalry to strong life. I mean, shoot, that'd throw gasoline on that fire. You thought that Vandy winning and then doing so well in football kind of stoked those fires a little bit. This would be a five-alarm fire at that point. So credit to Tony Vitello for what he has built in such short time. I mean, it's easy to forget. They were 15-2 to start last season before the pandemic just put a halt on everything. So, you know, we've known that Vandy's good. This is the fifth College World Series playoff berth for Tim Corbin in his tenure, and yet it's the fifth time that the Vols all time will be playing for the baseball championship. So, first time in 16 years. So this is going to be fun. And, you know, both games, you know, you were right. East Carolina was the number 13 overall seed, so that was absolutely a tough situation for the Doors. And yet they get it done. And then the Vols, I mean, for all the talk about nasty and how they walked off the Tigers twice one Sunday in March to sweep the series, we should have won that series. I was on that LSU call last Wednesday when one of their players said we could have won that series. Well, there wasn't much about that this weekend. I mean, yes, they had a lead when they hit a homer in the rain, but it was fun baseball to watch. And watching the scene, watching fans be out there for both, you know, around Hawkins and also, Lord, I hope y'all were sunscreened up at Hawkins Field the last 2 days, or, you know, Friday and Saturday. I just hope so. And then Tennessee, ooh, doggy, that was some party they threw. You know, if you didn't get inside that. I mean, Danny White apparently is talking to Tony Vitello about an extension and renovations to Lindsey Nelson. Well, he got a sign of just how many people might turn up for filling that place up. So that should help the plans that they're putting together. So this is going to be fun, Greg.
Well, and we know this. It's a fan base that's part. Well, Rick Barnes maybe gives you a taste of that, although they hadn't gotten as far as they would want in the postseason. But certainly with that, and has, you know, built that basketball program's recruiting five stars left and right, blah, blah, blah. But football is the bell cow, and all of the mess that thing has been through the last 10 years. I think it's a fan base that's ready to, lack of a better term, just ready to party and feel good about itself.
And cheer a winner. I mean, you know, and that's the thing. You don't get to really – it's tough to tailgate for basketball, right? I mean, maybe, you know, there's tailgates around tournaments and things like that. And, you know, it just, you know, even the SEC tournament this year was just still a different feel because – you know, the numbers were still limited inside the building and honestly outside. I mean, the mask mandates, everything were still untapped in downtown Nashville. And so it was just a different feel even just a few, you know, a couple months ago. But now you've got a combination of a winner. And yes, people are ready to party because nothing brings a fan base together better than a winner. Especially, you know, baseball, you know, let's face it, you know, there's football, there's men's basketball, probably women's basketball, absolutely, at Tennessee, although sometimes that's absolutely been flipped. And, you know, when someone was there winning national titles, there were a couple of years you could absolutely argue that they were number one. But, you know, baseball's kind of that fourth sport. And if you can win there, I mean, look what baseball has done for Vanderbilt. You know, they've won the two national titles, you know, 2014, 2019. And it's amazing what that does for, you know, it gives you your university such, you know, it's something you can hang your hat on. And just point out, you know, no offense, the bowling titles, championships are really nice at Vanderbilt, but, you know, baseball is a sport that gets attention beyond the normal fan base.
You know, and I was there Saturday, and you're right. I saw plaster, and I don't mean to be too cursed with this. I said it on the air earlier. I think I drank 8 gallons of water and still wasn't able to pee because I was so dehydrated. But it was, and those in the I guess the outfield have bleach, what, aluminum bleachers or something, man. But
I hope they had something to sit on.
It was, I enjoyed it, but it was hot. But they did a good job of keeping people hydrated with the Miss fans and everything. But you know, and then. Just in general, though, the forward momentum, Danny White at Tennessee press conference last Wednesday revealing the $500 million initiative for athletics across a variety of sports and facilities and whatnot, almost 200 of it is that already raised. Conversely, I've got a better feeling now, and I think Jerry Stackhouse is quietly stacking up some players, and we'll see where that goes. The women's basketball program needed a change, made that as well. Football, Clark Lee, you know, he knows how the sausage is made because he's been part of it, grew up here, knows exactly what it takes there. Candace Story Lee as well. There just seems to be some forward momentum. I guess it's easy to say after what Vanderbilt baseball just did, but certainly – and I think it starts at the top with Daniel Diermeier. I really got a good feel about him at the top, more so than, quite frankly, anybody. Zeppos, certainly Wyatt back in the 90s. That's where it's got to start, is with the chancellor. And I think Diermeier is sincere in what he says.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. You know, Gordon Gee is the guy that, while he, you know, talked about how he liked athletics, he's also the guy who dismantled the athletic department and got rid of an athletic director in Todd Turner. So, you know, and now it's a different feel over on West End. And, you know, and honestly, similar over in Knoxville. I mean, you know, the revolving door at athletic director there and, you know, the one good hire that John Curry made in his few months on the job was Tony Vitello. So, you know, and you know, now you've got Danny White as the latest new AD, and, you know, he's not going to let this coach slip away. He's working to sign him to an extension and do the things to help bolster that program. So you're absolutely right. Leadership matters. And, you know, for Diermeier, you know, we've seen him at events. You know, he's made his presence very, you know, he's been very present at athletic events at Vanderbilt, you know, to see and be seen and making it clear that he understands and he is, you know, he is on board with making athletics, you know, competitive. And getting the facilities up to, You know, the line that I hadn't used just yet, Greg, but, you know, there won't be any, you know, waterfalls like, you know, apparently what Alabama has. But, you know, they're going to get the facilities up to what athletes are, you know, should be expecting in the SEC, even if there's not all the bells and whistles that, you know, maybe catch all the headlines. But, you know, and Donde Plowman over at Tennessee, you know, I think the reason that you have the reason you have Danny White as AD is because of her. You know, so, you know, she's been very quiet. You know, she's come in and she hasn't shied away. She's taken the reins, and just like Daniel Diermeier. So, to your point, leadership matters. And right now, we've got a couple, you know, Chancellor and Diermeier and Donde Plowman who are looking to build and, you know, make sure their programs are competing. And then you've got ADs and Candace Lee and Danny White, the same thing. So, this is what makes our jobs fun.
Teresa Walker with us. You can follow her on Twitter at Teresa Walker Associated Press. Well, tomorrow through Thursday, mini camp, mandatory mini camp. Of course, OTA last Thursday, you had Julio Jones showing up and Tannehill, them out working together for the first time. So pretty cool for that. But we'll see the next 3 days who all shows up. And you got to feel, though, that with the forward momentum of this, that trade, the enormous visibility that it brought to the Titans nationally, trading for Julio Jones, but certainly should be an interesting next 3 days. And you know it's going to be the circus will be in town with the Julio Jones circus. You know the national media is going to converge as well.
Well, as I point out, I'm there every day, and I'm national. My stuff goes everywhere.
I understand that. I'm not taking you for granted, okay?
I appreciate that.
Chill out over there.
Yes, ESPN with Diana Rossini was in town on last Thursday for Julio. I do expect maybe some NFL Network and some more folks coming in because, yeah, that's what Julio Jones coming to the Titans does for this franchise. It gets them more on the national radar. Yet another benefit to this trade, you know, is just getting some eyeballs on this franchise, you know, as they try to keep pace and see if they can get ahead in the AFC. So, you know, something that you may not, it's not going to show up in the box score, so to speak, but it's something that is incredibly beneficial to a franchise that, let's not forget, they couldn't sell every ticket in the building last year. They're going to have to try to sell every ticket this year, and that's not going to help hurt either.
What is the fair expectation level? Certainly a division championship, right? But you're hearing Super Bowl or bust from a lot of the fans.
Well, here's the thing. I hate to bust the bubble, but, you know, you can try everything and you can put all the pieces in place, and sometimes something will happen that it doesn't allow you to go and lift the championship. I mean, this franchise has been to one Super Bowl, and it was founded in 1960. So, you know, people, calm down, be patient. This move helps them keep pace in the AFC. And, you know, if that, you know, the tone that is set by Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, you name it, through that roster, you know, from Mike Vrabel, et cetera, you know, the guys who love football. And that was something that Julio Jones noted, that it kind of reminded him of a college atmosphere. And we all know that he played at Alabama, a college that is very used to winning championship after championship. That is the goal. But, you know, should they be a contender? Absolutely. Does that mean they're going to be in L.A. in February on the 13th playing for the championship? Stay tuned. That's the thing about sports. You actually have to play the games.
Where are the holes still to be filled? Tight end, you think, maybe?
Well, here's the thing. Anthony Firkser, would we like to see somebody there with a name we know? Sure. Does this team maybe have the space to go out and get it? Probably not. Anthony Firkser had only a couple fewer catches than Jonnu Smith. He only had a few less yards than Jonnu Smith. The category where Jonnu Smith, you know, had a huge advantage, touchdowns. He had 8, Firkser had 1. So production-wise, Anthony Firkser most likely is going to be the guy in line to fill that spot. And with Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Josh Reynolds, he should have a chance to make some catches this year because defenses cannot they can't focus on everybody. Somebody's going to get loose and out there in that offense. So, and Greg, you just can't spend tons of money on every position. That's an area where Firkser, Jeff Swain, you know, one of these guys that they've got on this roster has an opportunity to step up and grab some playing time, I think.
Teresa Walker with us every Monday morning. You can follow on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. She covers all the stuff here in the state of Tennessee for the national people as well, right?
Thank you. Yeah, my copy's been going national for a very long time.
Are you going to Japan?
I am. I leave July 21st, so our Monday talks will have to come to a little stop there for about a two-week period.
I have no idea what time it is in Japan right now. I have no idea.
Me either.
And really, I don't care.
I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I've been learning how to say konnichiwa and arigato. But I don't know the time difference. So yes, I'm going to miss the first week and a half, maybe. I should be back at Titans camp on August 10th.
We'll figure it out. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, Teresa Walker, Associated Press, Hall of Famer, indeed. We are at the 26th.